my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hello, Stargazers. Welcome to another episode of Star Trails. I'm Drew, your guide to the cosmos for the week starting July the 14th to July the 20th. This week, we're focusing on the Summer Triangle, and later in the show, we'll highlight one of the year's best meteor showers, the Perseids. Summer is here, and temperatures at my home location have been approaching 100 degrees, and we've had daily afternoon storms. It goes without saying that astronomy during the summer months can be challenging. The nights are shorter, reducing the window for observation. Heat can cause discomfort and attract insects. The high humidity in many regions can lead to hazy skies, making it difficult to see faint objects. Also, our favorite planets seem to be at their best in the early morning hours, and that makes observation tough for those of us who have to get up early for work. However, the rewards of seeing the Milky Way, the deep sky objects of summer, and events like meteor showers make it worth the effort. So stick with it, and hopefully it's cooler where you are than it is here. Our week begins with the moon in its first quarter phase, gradually waxing towards a full moon, which will occur on July the 21st. This means we'll have a waxing gibbous moon dominating the evening sky throughout this week, slightly obscuring the faintest stars and deep sky objects. For our planet watchers, Uranus and Mars will be in conjunction this week. Look for the pair on July the 15th after 3 a.m. Mars, at a magnitude of 0.9, will pass close to Uranus in the constellation Taurus. The planets will be visible high above the eastern horizon about an hour before sunrise. You'll need at least a pair of binoculars to see Uranus, which clocks in at a dim magnitude of 5.8. It will be directly above Mars, less than half a degree away. To put that into perspective, if you hold your fist out at arm's length against the sky, it will span roughly 10 degrees. If you're having trouble locating Mars, look for the tiny dipper-shaped Pleiades cluster, and Mars will be the red star about 10 degrees to the right. If you have your binoculars out, be sure to look at the Pleiades itself, as it's a serene, blue, open cluster that's always a treat up close. Jupiter will be nearby, lighting up the constellation Taurus at a magnitude of negative 1.9. You can't miss it, just to the left of Aldebaran, the red eye of Taurus. This week, Saturn is still at the kneecap of Aquarius. You'll be able to spot it rising just before midnight at about the same brightness as Mars. Saturn will end up high in the sky by the pre-dawn hours. Neptune is also in the vicinity, about 15 degrees to the left of Saturn, hanging out in Pisces. As always, you'll need a telescope to catch it. Mercury and Venus are still very near the Sun. You may be able to spot Mercury low on the western horizon just after sunset. Venus will likely be lost in the Sun's glare this week. Let's talk about one of the most prominent asterisms in the summer sky. The Summer Triangle, made up of the bright stars Vega, Altair, and Deneb, has been known to various cultures throughout history. For instance, in ancient China, Vega was part of the Weaving Girl constellation, symbolizing a princess who weaves the Milky Way. Altair was the cowherd, representing her lover. This myth is celebrated during the Xi Xi festival, similar to Valentine's Day. Vega is the fifth brightest star in the night sky and the second brightest in the northern celestial hemisphere, after Arcturus. It's been extensively studied and serves as a baseline for calibrating the brightness of other stars. Interestingly, Vega will become the North Star around 14,000 AD due to the precession of the equinoxes as Earth's rotational axis changes over millennia. Altair is one of the closest stars visible to the naked eye at only 16.7 light-years away. It rotates incredibly fast with an equatorial speed of approximately 286 kilometers per second, causing it to be significantly flattened at the poles. Deneb is one of the most luminous stars known with an absolute magnitude of -8.4, making it around 200,000 times more luminous than our Sun. Despite being approximately 2,600 light years away, it appears bright because of its immense luminosity. Deneb is also a prototype for a class of pulsating stars known as Alpha Cygni variables. Each star in the Summer Triangle is part of a larger constellation with its own rich mythology and fascinating features. Lyra, which contains Vega, is home to the famous Ring Nebula, a planetary nebula that can be seen with a small telescope. Aquila, Altair's constellation, represents the eagle that carried Zeus's thunderbolts in Greek mythology. Cygnus, known as the Swan, is home to several interesting deep sky objects, including the Cygnus X1 black hole and the North America Nebula. The Summer Triangle is situated along the Milky Way, making it an excellent region for exploring the dense star fields of our galaxy. On a dark, clear night, the Milky Way appears as a luminous band stretching across the sky, filled with stars, nebula, and clusters. During the summer months, the Summer Triangle rises in the eastern sky after sunset and remains visible throughout the night. It's an excellent guide for locating other stars and constellations. For instance, following the line from Deneb to Altair points towards the constellation Sagittarius, where the center of the Milky Way resides. In addition to the well-known objects of summer, here are three lesser-known deep-sky objects that are visible right now. The Dumbbell Nebula, M27, is located in the constellation Vulpecula, just south of the Summer Triangle. The Dumbbell Nebula is one of the brightest planetary nebula in the night sky. It appears as a small glowing apple core through binoculars and reveals its double-lobed structure with a telescope. This nebula, formed from the outer layers of a dying star, is about 1,360 light-years away from Earth. The Coathanger, also known as Brocky's Cluster, is an asterism that's also situated in the constellation Vulpecula. It gets its name from its distinctive shape, resembling an upside-down coathanger. The Coathanger is best viewed with binoculars, which will reveal its straight line of stars forming the hanger's bar, and a hook-like cluster of stars at one end. The Eastern Veil Nebula, NGC 6992, is part of the larger Veil Nebula complex in the constellation Cygnus. The Eastern Veil Nebula is a remnant of a supernova explosion that occurred around 10,000 years ago. This faint nebula can be observed with a telescope under dark skies, where you'll see its delicate, wispy filaments stretching across the sky. The entire Veil Nebula complex spans an area of about 3 degrees in the sky, making it an excellent subject for wide-field astrophotography. After a quick break, we'll discuss meteor showers, including one of the most active, which begins this month. Stay with us.
Are you ready to start your own podcast? With RSS.com, you get everything you need to publish and grow your show. We selected RSS.com for Star Trails because it features a fast, easy-to-use dashboard, great analytics, and automatic distribution to all major platforms. Boost engagement with podcasting 2.0 features such as value for value, chapters, sound bites, and transcripts. Plus, you can publish straight to YouTube. Click the RSS.com link in our show notes to get started, and you'll not only get a discount, but you'll be helping support Star Trails as well. If you migrate your show from another platform, the first 6 months are free. Podcasting is better with RSS.com.
Welcome back. This week, we're diving into meteor showers with a special focus on the upcoming Perseids. Meteor showers occur when the Earth passes through debris left behind by a comet. These tiny particles, called meteoroids, enter our atmosphere at incredibly high speeds and burn up, creating the bright streaks of light we call meteors. If any of these meteoroids are large enough to survive their fiery journey through the atmosphere and land on Earth, they become meteorites. There are several well-known meteor showers that grace our skies each year. The Perseids, Geminids, and Leonids are among the most famous. The Perseids, which we are focusing on today, are particularly beloved for their bright and numerous meteors. They originate from the comet Swift-Tuttle and are best seen in the Northern Hemisphere. The viewing period for the Perseid meteor shower starts tonight and peaks around August the 12th. The best time to view the Perseids is after midnight, away from city lights where the sky is darkest. Find a spot with a clear view of the sky and let your eyes adjust to the darkness for about 30 minutes for the best viewing experience. One of the best things about meteor showers is that you don't need any special equipment to enjoy them, just your eyes and a bit of patience. Lie back on a blanket or a reclining chair and just look up. Meteors can appear anywhere in the sky, though they will seem to radiate from the constellation Perseus, which rises in the northeast. Bring along some snacks, a warm drink, and maybe a friend or two to share the experience. As meteoroids enter Earth's atmosphere, they travel at speeds up to 70 kilometers per second. The friction between the meteoroid and the air causes the meteoroid to heat up and glow, creating the bright trail we see. Larger meteoroids can produce fireballs, which are incredibly bright meteors that can light up the entire sky for a few moments. Although we call them showers, the reality is that meteors won't be coming down like raindrops. The Perseid meteor shower typically produces an average rate of 50 to 100 meteors per hour during its peak under optimal conditions. However, this rate can vary depending on factors such as the location, light pollution, weather conditions, and the phase of the moon. During the peak night, if you're in a dark location with clear skies and minimal light pollution, you could potentially see around 60 to 70 meteors per hour. This year, August the 12th is predicted to be the peak night, meaning you should stay up late on August 11th and wait until the moon sets just after midnight for ideal viewing. Meteor showers have fascinated humans for centuries, inspiring myths and legends around the world. In ancient times, meteors were often seen as omens or messages from the gods. In some cultures, it's believed that wishing upon a shooting star can make your dreams come true. So while you're out there watching the Perseids, don't forget to make a wish.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Before I close this episode, I have to take a moment to mention one of the most significant moments in the history of space exploration that occurred this week back in 1969. July the 20th is the 55th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. On this day, astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first humans to walk on the moon, while astronaut Michael Collins orbited above in the command module.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Between 1969 and 1972, there were six successful manned moon landings, with a total of 12 astronauts walking on the lunar surface. Apollo 11 continues to inspire new generations as we plan to return to the moon in coming years with the Artemis project. That's it for today's episode of Star Trails. Before you go, I invite you to check out our weekly email newsletter on Substack, where you can receive night sky reports and astronomy news that we don't always mention here on the podcast. It's completely free and a great supplement to the show. We're also on Mastodon at star_trails, and we'd love to hear from you. I'll include links to both services in the show notes. Also, remember our website, startrails.show, where you can find all of our episodes, including transcripts. Until next time, keep looking up and exploring the night sky. Clear skies, everyone.